Hey everybody, Rutledge from Tech Raptor here. I'm here with Stephen Gillespie for our third Raptor cast. There hasn't been a whole lot of news, so we're going to kind of wing this a little bit.
Also, we're lazy.
There's that too. And we're just going to see where things go. So,
Magical Mystery Tour.
We'll kick it off with House of Cods.
I see what you did.
You see what I did there? Yeah. Interesting way of maybe pulling in more people with Kevin Spacey. Thoughts?
I like Kevin Spacey. I have a checkered pass with the Call of Duty games. I thought the Modern Warfare 1 was really, really special on a single-player and multiplayer base, which I think is something a lot of people have forgotten, especially when you see like a game like Titanfall come out and refocus on really nailing the multiplayer element, and you start to think that those guys, what was so bad for me is what they did to the modern-day shooter and did it so well. Since then, like, World at War I thought was disgusting on a kind of a moral standpoint. I just, again, rubbed me completely the wrong way, especially that segment when it's just like, burning Japanese people is fun, and I wasn't particularly a fan of that as a, you know, the Japanese are okay. Modern Warfare 2 was just uninspired and just kind of crappy. The original Black Ops was doing something different, but not something that I liked. Modern Warfare 3 was boring as hell. And Black Ops 2, I thought, was really, really good, actually. Campaign, interesting stuff with player choice in moments where you didn't even realize you had made a choice. And like seeing studios like BioWare try and pull that off and doing it so telegraphed, and seeing freaking Treyarch come out and manage to do seamless player choice and some interesting missions was pretty bloody impressive. And then there was Ghost, which I didn't play, and because it looked boring again.
Yeah.
They like to talk on like boring and like they like to like be interesting slash repugnant and then boring. And I guess I prefer the repugnant ones. But this new one has sci-fi stuff on it, and as a fan of science fiction and Kevin Spacey, I'm kind of interested.
Yeah. I'm a huge Kevin Spacey fan, obviously. My
What's
House of Cards reference.
What's your favorite Kevin Spacey movie?
What?
What's your favorite Kevin Spacey movie?
Oh, man. You know, I liked him a lot in 21. Have you seen that? I recommend it. But, I mean, he's had so many good movies. 21 is just one of my favorite movies.
Well, there were four you could have picked that I'd have accepted. Now, you could have said American Beauty, obviously.
True.
That's quintessential Spacey. You could have said L.A. Confidential.
True.
You could have said The Usual Suspects.
True.
Or you could have said Moon.
I think out of all five, I'd have to go with Usual Suspects.
Yeah, Usual Suspects or American Beauty for me. So, L.A. Confidential, Moon are so good. As just those four. Just those four movies are so good. He's great, isn't he?
Yeah, he's fantastic. And House of Cards, he's just knocking it out of the park.
Seven as well. Like, he's...
Oh, yeah.
He's the best bit of... He's in some of my favorite movies ever. Like, five of my favorite movies. Man, he's good. So,
I'll be interested to see... From what it looks like, there's going to be kind of the, you know, that Command and Conquer style thing. Remember how the Command and Conquer, you'd play your matches or whatever, and then between you'd actually have, like, actors acting stuff out. Obviously, it looks like he's complete CGI.
Yeah.
But
In-engine, though, I mean, we have to point out that game is looking really good. Graphically, I know it's a bit boring to talk graphically, and yes, we have seen the Golden Gate Bridge blow up about 50 times in a Call of Duty game, but it blew up quite nicer this time. They're improving the blowing up Golden Gate Bridge tech, which is there's probably like a fundamental middleware in their engine which is just breaking the Golden Gate Bridge, and they just got a team just scaling that up a bit. It's like, how much more particles can we get off this one little explosion?
Yeah. Now, it'll be interesting to see. Hopefully they'll, like you said, it's sci-fi-ish. So, hoverbikes. Hopefully we'll see some really cool stuff. this time instead of your generic, oh, we're in Iraq, oh, we're in Afghanistan, over and over and over again.
It gives them more excuse to do crazy, like, balls-to-the-wall stuff, which they were really good at in, like, Modern Warfare 1, of being just like, now you're doing this. And, like, so many of those things, like, being in the AC-130 and, like, going through irradiated wastelands, being just done now. And moving it into another sphere gives them a chance to be like, now you're in, no, you're on a hover bike, and it crashed, and it blew up, and now you're in Poland. Who knows? Yeah.
No, they're, hopefully this is a step in the right direction. I'm pretty much, I stopped playing after Modern Warfare 2, because I'm just
that was
like,
a good decision.
This is the same game over and over again. It's not worth my $60. I'll go buy something else.
Yeah. But Black Ops 2, I'm going to throw it out there, as a person who does not like Call of Duty, Black Ops 2 is a very good game.
That's what I've heard. I can't bring myself to come back.
I'm not saying you should go and play it. I mean, it's not like the best thing. It's interesting that it should have been really bad, and they did something really kind of interesting in a limited time scale. I mean, if they had like... Although, the interesting thing, going with that, about Advanced Warfare, apart from the fact that we should get into the title later, because the title is hilarious, is that this is the first Call of Duty to benefit from a 3-year development cycle. Previously, they've all been just tiptoeing between Infinity Ward, Treyarch, and Infinity Ward, Treyarch. This is Sledgehammer, who were brought in to salvage Modern Warfare 3. Apparently, they couldn't make it not boring, but hey. The people that used to... It's a lot of the Dead Space people, original Dead Space, and this is their first prop game. It's the team from Visceral. I think it's the main guy from Dead Space is heading up the studio. So like, he's got some chops. I mean, I'm not the biggest Dead Space fan, but that's still a damn impressive game, and was, you know, it was interesting and did some different stuff. So if you can bring that kind of thing, they were originally working on a third person shooter, an action. It was
really
supposed to be a third person action adventure in the Call of Duty franchise, and they had a bit of that made apparently, like a demo's worth, and then crap went down at Infinity Ward when Weston Zampella jumped ship. And that was scrapped, and they were brought into salvage. So this is, now they've just been chucked on mainstream Call of Duty. So I have more hope for them than I have for a lot of the other developers there. With 3 years, I think they can make something decent. So
well, they're also, they haven't been doing it for on and off, so.
They're fresh.
Maybe
they're
we'll see something fresh, yeah. I think that's what they need. They need something fresh instead of, you know, let's try this developer this year. Alright, you're going to get the same fucking game every time, you know?
Because, like, I'm working in a school at the moment, and, like, all, like, the kids, when they're like, what games they're playing, it's all Battlefield. Like, they are playing Battlefield. And though, like, the sales aren't there, like, it is coming to that point where Battlefield is becoming a big thing, and it's taking a lot, especially as Ghost was so... People, like, played it for a bit and just fall off it completely. I think Call of Duty, like, they do need to try really hard this year. This is the first year where they actually need to actually up their game, and they are in the best position they've been for in years to actually pull that off. With this new studio, 3 years, great new setting, Kevin Spacey... self-censoring there, you should be proud of me. I cautiously optimistic. I mean, that's the right term here.
It could be good, could be bad. Hopefully the introduction... I mean, obviously the introduction of Kevin Spacey. Wow. Kevin Spacey.
I'll make Kevin, friend of the podcast.
it's a nice introduction into the cinematics, but the question is, what will that do for the gameplay?
True.
Probably nothing.
And though, like, it was an impressively delivered speech, like, the stuff that he was saying was just kind of like, it was very, like, standard, you know, yeah, we get it, like, installing democracies doesn't work and stuff like that. It's stuff that's been bubbling around in, like, conversation for years. It's nothing particularly interesting or brave. He's not, like, pushing the boundary of his speech. Just like, yeah, that's very safe criticism of war that a big company could say and get away with because you're not really saying anything, and he's the bad guy anyway, so it's okay. So.
Yeah, I think they're probably trying to leverage him and his.
But if he is like Kane from Command and Conquer,
to bring people in.
If he is like Kane from Command and Conquer and he's super camp, I am so down with that.
yeah, that'd be interesting.
Advanced Warfare. So we need to point out that no, this is not a sequel to Advanced Warfighter, the Ghost Recon game. This is not an Advanced Wars game. This is Advanced Warfare.
We'll see if it's advanced.
Wouldn't it be amazing if it only comes out for the GBA?
The Game Boy Advance?
Yeah, because back in the day they were just like, this is Super Mario Advance, this is Advance Wars, like, and this is, that used to be their naming convention, and if this, you know, if this only comes to the GBA, I will play the hell out of it. I will buy a GBA to play Call of Duty Advance.
Yeah, they're going to be like, psych, it's not for PS3 or Xbox. Suck it!
That wasn't actual footage. We can't do that on a GBA, come on! We spent all our money on Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, that's probably 90% of their production costs.
I bet Sony are bummed out though, because I've never got around to watching House of Cards, which is something I should really do, because it seems
really
way up my street. But I hear that there is a heavy Sony product placement on that show. Like, there's an episode where he's playing, of all games, God of War Ascension, and he's always pulling his Vita out and stuff. So
That seems to be the trend for TV shows now, though. Like, I'm watching Warehouse 13, like, hey, check out my features in my car, and I'm like, this is so blatant, you know? I think that, and obviously we're starting to get that integration into games, too, so I guess advertisers are looking for new ways to generate, I don't know. I mean, it's a good way for developers to make money, I guess.
Is that his name, Frank Underwood? I want to say that's his name.
Frank Underwood?
In House of Cards?
I believe so.
Apparently he's super into God of War Ascension. Like, he was...
Apparently.
He loves that game, which is weird.
Yeah, I think he was playing something in one of the early episodes. I can't remember.
Yeah. Well, he likes to wind down and play some ultra-violence.
Yeah. So...
That's Call of Duty. Yeah. I mean, there's much else to say on Call of Duty. Wait for E3, I guess. I mean, it will be at Microsoft press conference at E3. That's how they start it off. That's what they do every year. There'll be amazing fish tech. There will be vaulting, and they'll say that's next gen. It'll be great.
Did you say there's amazing fish tech?
That was what, during last year at E3, when they were showing off, like, the next gen features of Ghosts, and their two main points, I remember, were, like, fishes that move away, you know, like in Mario 64. And vaulting, which is, like, vaulting over things is kind of a staple in games now.
I had forgotten about that. Wow, it took you that long to figure out how to make fish move.
They move.
Good job.
They move.
Pretty sure I did that in Unity in the first, like, 3 weeks of learning how to use it.
But you're a very talented man, so... Clearly you should be making next-gen games.
I should.
At Treyarch.
At Treyarch.
What's Ghosts Treyarch? No, it might have been. Who made Ghosts? Was it Infinity Ward? It must have been Infinity Ward, right?
The first one? No, there was only one. I'm thinking of...
Blops. Ghosts is Infinity Ward. Must have been.
Yeah, Infinity Ward.
But they're not really a studio, to be honest, so...
No. Yeah, well, it was... Yeah, it was Infinity Ward. So, whatever. Yeah, so I guess we'll see how that goes.
We'll see. We'll officially.
I'm on the fence, so...
That's probably a wise place to be.
I'll probably wait a week and watch some Twitch streams before I make my decision.
I don't think it's a game I'm going to buy, because it's not really that my kind of game, but I'll be happy as just a fan of games if it comes out and it's good. Like, more good games in the stream out there, it's just nice, even if I don't want to play them.
Yep. Yeah, on the topic of games...
now that is a segue.
Whoa! I'm intrigued by this whole Origin thing.
Just the service.
They're free games. Well, Origin's garbage.
I'm not intrigued for that. I'm not intrigued by Origin at all.
No, it's... The main reason I have it is for Titanfall, obviously, because that game is freaking awesome, and I didn't want to buy an Xbox One.
If you do. Yet,
it's on my list.
I'll get one eventually. I want to play that Dead Rising game a lot.
Yes.
I love that.
Sunset Overdrive looks interesting too.
It does. I saw some art from that game today. It might be the box art actually, and it looks super.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Obviously, for those that don't know, they're kind of giving out a free game a week. I believe it's every week, which is odd because they're eventually going to run out of free games.
Yeah, well, they have a lot of other people's games on there, don't they? But still not that many.
It's
they're
going to
start
like
running free. That they have some real shovelware in Origin, though, just like EA back catalog stuff that is weirdly overpriced. So I guess, like, they have some good old games on there for sure. Like, you can buy like Battlefield 2 on there, but it's like £20. So maybe like they can put it out for free, which kind of seems worthwhile now. Almost like, that game should be free. So.
Well, they gave out Dead Space last week, which I already have on both Origin and Steam.
I don't like it.
I make my way through it in chunks because I'm a little
worse. It's so boring. It's so boring.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it is boring, but there's those jump scenes that I'm just like, I'm done.
My history with horror games is that all of them have bored me to death. Like, I just don't work for me. Yeah, I got bored.
Seriously?
I was just peeing myself. It's just nothing. It's just the way that they try to be scary just ends up being frustrating. It's like, well, I'm dead. I don't want to be done. I'm back here now. Oh, he's going to chase me again. Great. Awesome. And I played Amnesia and just got half through that and be like, I don't want to play this anymore because every 5 minutes, like, go down to this thing and pull this lever and then find this lever. And I was like, stop making me do fetch quests and weird chores. I just... No.
Give me the story.
I don't care for horror games, apparently. But Alien Isolation looks good. I bet it's going to come out and I'm going to hate it, which is so sad for me.
Probably.
So bummed.
What was the Space Marines or whatever? Aliens?
I played for Aliens.
Aliens.
I finished that game. It's bad. Don't play it.
It's really bad.
It's really bad. Don't play that game.
So... Yeah, no. It'll be interesting to see if that has any effect on their usage. I don't think it will because Steam.
It means that people might turn on Origin once a week.
Maybe. Just to see what the game is.
If you're like me, you'll forget. Like, you're like, oh, free game, and they just won't. I mean, the two games so far have been, as you said, Dead Space and Plants vs. Zombies.
Oh, which, yeah.
Like, they're kind of pretty. They're old and pretty cheap games anyway, but most people have played. And Plants vs. Zombies is better on a handheld device anyway.
Agreed.
So, I mean, it's great. It's awesome. Plants vs. Zombies is so good. But if you haven't played it by now, just buy it on Steam. I get that it's free on Origin, but just buy it on Steam.
Everything's better on Steam.
It's true. Steam. I like Steam. I don't like Origin. I just clicked on my Origin icon, and I just realized that I don't know my Origin ID or password, so I'm going to close that.
I do that every time, and
I'm just like, I don't know what I put as my password for this thing. I have no idea.
That's funny.
It's not the month when SimCity came out, so I'm not playing Origin.
True.
So. I used Origin a lot when SimCity came out, and even though SimCity wasn't that good, it was fun for a while until you hit the end. That was the problem with that game, is that it took a long time for you to realize that it wasn't good, because you expand your city and you're like, this is great. Not very good, actually.
Womp womp.
Yeah, that was a... Like, dumped a lot of time into that game, and they'd be like, there's not much for this game, which I like, actually.
See, I was pretty pissed with Star Wars, The Old Republic. When that came out, it's like Origin only. I'm like, are you kidding me? Just to log into that. Which, we talked about, I played D&D last night, and we literally talked about MMOs for 2.5 hours before we moved on to, like, more nostalgia. So, yeah.
I just remember when I picked up The Old Republic, like, it wouldn't, like, I was like, you know what, I'll download this on Origin. And on Origin, it was, like, £10 more than being in a shop, and I was just like, no. I don't want a box of this game, but I guess I'm going to have to. And it wouldn't let me download it as well. But that was the more annoying thing. I tried to download on Origin, and it said that it had sold out. And I was like, how can you sell out of an online-only game? So I had to go to a shop and buy a copy of The Old Republic, which was cheaper anyway, because it had sold out on Origin. An MMO had sold out. You know, they'd maxed massive. The massive had been filled.
Yeah.
Not happy about that.
They don't do a good job managing their numbers, apparently. I don't understand how you can do that, but, you know, they pull it off.
Apparently it was full. No room in the inn at the Old Republic. So that's Origin done. That's I don't want to say that word again. So can we move on?
It's a curse word.
And I want a better segue this time. I want you to prepare. Think of a segue.
Oh, man. I'm bad at segues.
If I knew... All right, whilst we're talking about the next thing, I don't care about the segue for this one, while we're talking about it, keep thinking of a segue for the next one, and we'll do it seamlessly. This one, no segue. This is daring. Right,
let's see how this goes.
That was the segue. Right.
No segue. Nintendo E3 presentation.
Okay, we're in. I'm going to attempt a segue. So Nintendo came out and said they're going to handle E3 pretty much the same way they did last year, which is they are not going to do a keynote, even though they're not keynotes, they're just press conferences where they have to say certain things, but there's kind of a spectacle to them, and they're fun. Like, press conferences, I watch them all because I find them weirdly fun, because they get executives on to pretend they're human, and that's kind of entertaining, and they show lots of games. But Nintendo are instead going to do a live Nintendo Direct, basically, which means their marketing speedrunner is like, we can share it directly to the gamers, you know? So they can hear it straight away. It's not for the press. It's not for the shareholders, who we don't have many of anymore. It's for gamers. And what is your opinion on that? Do you think that is the right move, or do you think that's a bad move, or do you think it's emblematic of anything to do with Nintendo at the moment?
I feel like for E3 they need a press conference. It's kind of the essence and what everybody's looking for every year. I mean, I generally just binge watch the press conferences all day, whatever day that is, and love every second of it. So,
especially when it's bad.
That the awkwardness at Electronic Arts last year with that dude, he's like, and I'm like, what just happened?
That's why the Ubisoft ones are always the best, because they always get the worst people on stage. Ubisoft have, for the last few years, have had some really good games, but every bit between the games just like, I want to die. This is the worst. And this Watch Dogs looks cool. I don't know. Nintendo will still have a lengthy video of them showing off their games, but... So the good things, there are some good things about this. Like, one of the inherent problems of press conferences is that what a press conference is means it has to be by certain rules. I mean, there comes a time at E3 when people like me and you sit down to watch the Sony press conference, Microsoft press conference, and about a third in, they're like, now let's talk about numbers. Or they're like, now let's talk about the casual segment. And we're just like, this is E3, get out of E3. And the point is, because these are important things for like their calendar, they have to actually discuss this stuff. It's to do with shareholders and things. So by not doing an official press conference, it means Nintendo can focus only on games. But actually, for Nintendo, I do want to hear them just... The games, I think the games Nintendo are doing okay. Like, the new Mario Kart looks great. The new Smash Bros. Looks great. I mean, they have no third party support. They're not going to get any. And that's kind of because they're not doing any showing apart from, look, Nintendo's still making Nintendo games. I'd like to see them at E3 showing off some stuff about the Wii U to make me want to get it some more. Like, they've talked about in the past wanting to redo how they do account software and link your account as an account, not just to a system, and just, like, basic stuff that the 360 nailed back in late 2005. And I would prefer to see Nintendo on stage doing that kind of stuff rather than just like, here's just a Nintendo Direct where we talk about Tomodachi Life and whatever for a bit. Also, like, the big benefit of the press conference was from last year when we had at Sony's when they were talking about used games or whatever it was, because that big furor at the time, Always Online, and they got a standing ovation. And yes, like, that was press giving a standing ovation, but like, the people at home that see that, that's such a more impactful moment when you see this huge instant reaction to what they're saying. And you're not going to get that from watching a Nintendo Direct. Like, they could drop a bombshell and it's not going to seem as good. And I mean, lose out on that bit where, like, Microsoft drops something that they think is really cool and there's just like a... When they're like, and now it's got Bing! And I'm just... There's less of that.
I wouldn't be proud of that.
Yeah!
No, you're definitely right. Like, you could do Nintendo's direct on a stage, and you could do it on video. They could do something on stage, and you're like, oh, man, that's awesome. And then you're watching it on the video, and you're just like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing that crowd energy.
Yeah, yeah, I want to see them walk on stage and just be like, we're doing this with the Wii U. We know we've messed up. This is how we're improving it. Here are our slate of games. Here are our numbers. Here's how we're going to improve it. Bam, bam, bam. I think they kind of need to be concerned about that structure because they need to admit the fact they're not doing very well. And just like, they can't just live in little la-la land and be just like, well, we've got this coming for the 3DS. It's going to be pretty good. And the Wii's got this. And it's good. This is a Yoshi game. This one's got Mario in it. And
Sam. That's the big thing with the conferences is, like, the people that speak get so jacked up, like, it...
Which is crap, but it's fun.
It's crap, but at the same time, like, it gets you excited for what's coming, you know, which is good.
I remember that awfulness from, like, last year when there was that really creepy guy talking about Infamous Second Son, and he's just like, the surveillance society, and they're watching me. I'm like, what game are you talking about? He's like, Infamous, you're a superhero. I'm like... Okay.
I get it.
Apparently, so that was strange, but it's memorable. I mean, when it's straight, but when it's bad, it's still kind of awesome.
Yeah. So,
and Nintendo do give good press conferences, even kind of ironically. So there was that E3 where Microsoft and Sony really killed it. I think it must be in 2009 or 2010, maybe. When it was when they were just showing off what was then Project Natal, which looked quite cool, and Sony were showing off the Move, and they had loads of good games coming out. Like, that was the year that Uncharted 2 was on the horizon, you had your Assassin's Creed on the horizon, they weren't showing Demon's Souls, but they should have been, and loads of stuff like that. And Nintendo's big revelation was the, what was it even called? It was the thing that you put on your finger that measured your pulse for games.
I honestly don't remember what that was called, because it fizzled out after about 2 months.
Never existed, but it was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to remember what that was called. I just need to know. You would have asked me 10 seconds ago, I told you what that was called.
Yeah, I remember it, because I was working at Best Buy at the time, and that came out.
I have just Vitality Sensor.
Vitality Sensor, yeah.
They had this Vitality Sensor. You could tell it was this half-baked thing. They just found out, like, these guys are showing off some really impressive stuff, and we don't really have anything. Vitality Sensor. You put it on your finger.
Here's something cool.
But, like, if you die in the game, you die. I don't know. If your pulse stops, the game stops and calls the police.
if you haven't worked out in about 3 years and you're on the Wii Fit, then you pass out. We got you.
It knows if you're cheating. If you're just slapping that Wii Fit with your hands rather than actually working, it's like, your pulse isn't racing. Get back on that board. Get back on.
You can't have your kid do it.
But they could really use the format of E3 and Real Time. Like, if they open that show with, like, knowing who the audience are, knowing the hardcore audience is E3, and they open the show of just, like, a picture of, like, a Samus helmet, and you're just like,
yes.
Interesting. Like, they have so many properties they could leverage, even though they're just like, this is a few years off, or they, you know, like, they lied about Smash Bros. And they hadn't even started that game. They're like, there's a new Smash Bros. Coming. And later you found out that they hadn't even started working on it. They could just mock up a Photoshop of Samus.
Yeah, do it. That.
They could do some really impressive stuff. They have a great stable of IP. They have some amazing, just such amazing talent. Just no one wants to make anything against their system.
They could just do what EA did last year. Battlefront.
Yeah. And that was great.
Yes!
And they did that with Mirror's Edge 2 as well. Like, we are making these two games. We know you guys care about that.
Yeah. And that's smart. The thing. Like, the Nintendo, the E3 Directs feel like the regular weekly ones. Mm. Like, they don't feel explosively awesome. Like, it doesn't feel like an E3 presentation.
You're right. And the thing is, like, as we keep, like, hinting at, what they need to do is really up their game. They really need to, like, have a big blowout. And, like, by not doing a press conference, it just gives this idea of them just, like, stepping away and just, like, reeling it back when they should be throwing out all the stops and giving this whole thing, like, one final push, going, like, no, like, we are going to live by this. We don't care if you don't think it's a good idea. We're going to show you why this is a good idea, why you should be interested in our platform, and why we are not backing down, why this is the future. Instead, they're just like, we're going to be over here doing a Reggie will talk.
Yeah, they need to make changes because with how the direction they're going, they're 3 years from now. I don't know if they'll still be around.
I mean, they make great games, but I don't like the hardware. Like, there is, I own a Vita, though I admit the 3DS has a lot of probably better games, but I don't want a 3DS because I don't like it. Like, as a machine, it's just, like, it's underpowered, the screens aren't very good, I don't like how it feels on my hand, I don't like the controls, and yeah, there's cool stuff on it, but I'd rather play that stuff on my Vita.
Yes.
Can I make a Fire Emblem game for the Vita? Can I make a new Pokemon game for my Vita? Because I would be very happy about that.
I think that if they, and you know, I understand why they do it, but if they maybe stepped away from focusing on their own console, and maybe release some of their games on other stuff, too.
Even if it's just, like, a phone. Like
they would make so much money. So much money.
Sega are doing well nowadays. Sega are doing well.
Yep.
And we all miss the Dreamcast dearly. We do. The Dreamcast was lovely. But in the end, I think they're in a better place. And they're especially doing strong. I mean, Sonic sucks. Sonic has always sucked, if we're being honest. But they have some good stuff there. Creative Assembly are kind of the good stuff they have. Creative Assembly. Total War is good. Good job, Sega. Now, you've had a lot of time to think of a segue.
On the topic of E3, when they introduced Destiny last year, I was completely jacked, obviously.
I like that? I give that a plus. That was a good segue. Right.
Yeah.
Carry on.
So I've been waiting to play it, obviously.
They introduced that gameplay last year.
It looks like a mix of Borderlands and Halo and a whole lot of other stuff, which is good. It's a good combo. And I really liked when they showed it off, just the sudden group events. Like, you're just running along, and then boom, there's like 100 people there. So I'm waiting for the beta. Obviously, they just announced a couple days ago that the beta will start in July. The game comes out September 9th. So it gives them a little bit of time to kind of test everything out. Hopefully they do it on a big enough scale to where day one isn't...
Yeah. Activision, because it's an Activision game, Activision have a pretty good track record for day one, don't they? I mean, you don't see
stories
every year of, like, Call of Duty came out and nobody can play it. I mean, you get things saying, like, you might find trouble getting into a game consistently on launch day, but it's launch day. But they don't have, like, there's no, like, downtime or brokenness. It's not an EA kind of situation over there.
No. And Activision does always worry me a little bit, especially with, like, the Call of Duty stuff. Obviously, they're in control, and they keep churning games out. So I hope that they really let Bungie hold the reins to this.
I think
Bungie does best.
You can use Activision as proof that I think your hopes will be realized, because, I mean, look at Blizzard. I mean, they own Blizzard, but they have allowed Blizzard to operate completely autonomously and do what the hell they want. And I think Activision, when it purchases something, it seems to have some kind of, it realized the value of it. And Bungie are a developer that I hold in such high esteem. I love what they do. And the reason why I think Bungie's, the reason I like the look of Destiny so much is Bungie. Like, it's playing to their strengths. World building and just atmosphere and just the feel of a game. Like, Halo, the original Halo. It just feels so good just playing those games just on that platform, define the Xbox, continue to, and it's like how I want a shooter to feel, if I'm honest, is like Halo, especially Halo 3. Love that game.
Yes.
So I'm such hopes for them.
They do a great job making lore-filled universes.
An interesting Halo, as well.
Completely from scratch. They've done the same thing with Destiny, completely built a whole new world. So,
from the beginning, Halo felt so
wrong in my eyes.
When you first played Halo, it felt so lived in and fled out and just awe-inspiring. It didn't feel like a scrap start to something. It felt like it had been there a long time people had thought about it was... Man, Halo 1 was not something really special.
Yeah.
Not special. I want to play Destiny. It looks so good.
Well, you've got a PS4, right?
I have a PS4 now. I bought one of those.
Well, if you pre-order, you get the first crack at beta, so we'll have to do some co-op.
I would try. I'm away for a lot of July, so I have to look when about that comes out.
We'll figure some out. I know I'll be twitching it.
Yeah. If I'm around, I'll be twitching the hell out of it.
If we're allowed to, I guess, is the key hey, there. I don't know.
I'll twitch it unofficially. I'll put a mask on.
Just for Vendetta mask. And obviously, something they announced the other day is that basically Activision's making a $500 million bet on Destiny.
Activision need to have complete faith in this thing and faith in Bungie, and placing down that much kind of money, they seem to be taking it very seriously.
Yeah, and the thing, you know, the one thing, you know, is that they did mention that if Destiny doesn't catch fire, or, you know, and the flame flickers, they basically, they have no patience for failure, so no. Hopefully Destiny does well, and
it's planned to be going off. They have 10-year Destiny plan, that's the deal.
Yeah, 10-year contract.
Equals 10 years. They want you to be invested in this universe for a long time, so
yes.
I think that's going to be something really impressive. I'll be really surprised if it's not.
Yeah, 10 years is a lot of time, so... Mm.
It's longer than a console lifecycle.
Yes. So I'm curious to see how that... Oh, let's see. PS3 came out when? 2006?
The
PS4 came out in 2013.
Yep.
7 years.
Yeah. And the 360 was 8 years.
Yeah. So it's usually 7 to 8 years.
Yeah. And that was a long generation.
Yes. I mean, it's still going, too.
Yeah, so I mean, the PS2 carried on for a while. I mean, it was supported really well with, like, God of War, Persona, and stuff.
So. Yeah. I'm just intrigued to see if maybe next gen comes out and they release an updated Destiny or something. You can transfer your saves. I don't know.
Man, that is thinking ahead. God. Who knows? That's who knows.
I think it'll do great. Destiny's got a great track record.
I like Bungie. I like them.
Love Bungie. If I had to choose a developer to work for, it would be Bungie. Hands down.
They make good games. They make really good games.
And on the topic of kind of Borderlands style games.
Oh wait, I wonder what you talk about. Do you know what kind of game is like Borderlands? Borderlands.
Borderlands. Or
Borderlands is pretty Borderlands-y.
Or Telltale's Tales from the Borderlands.
That's the new Tales of them, right? That's the new JRPG.
Tales of the Borderlands. Tales of Symphonia, close enough.
Symphonia, Tales of Borderlands.
Obviously,
I'd be way more interested in it if it was a Tales of Borderlands game than Borderlands Adventure game, but I'll let you say your piece about this thing, because I think I know nothing.
Obviously, well, you love The Wolf Among Us.
I do, I really do. I love Walking Dead as well.
And Walking Dead, you know, Back in the Future was pretty good.
Telltale are great. They make good games. They also made Jurassic Park, but less said. Not better.
So, obviously, for those that don't know, Tales from the Borderlands is Telltale's look at Pandora. So, we get to hop in two new people's shoes. I believe it's Reese, and I don't remember the girl's name.
Reese was my favorite character from Borderlands.
Yep. I think he's new, though. I'm confused.
Yeah, I know.
Like, wait a minute. They'll have return of a couple characters. Handsome Jack.
He wears a nice face. I respect that.
Marcus.
Yeah, he's cool. I like Marcus.
Zero, the assassin from Borderlands 2.
He has a character?
Zero?
Yeah, he's
going to be in it.
But what's he going to do?
I think I have an image here. Yeah, right there.
Okay. Fair enough.
So, one of the cool things that kind of caught my eye with it was the fact that you can earn loot in-game, much like you would in any Borderlands game.
But what does that mean? That confused me so much.
Yeah, I don't understand what that means either, but apparently you can earn loot and then transfer said loot into Borderlands 2.
As a fan of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, I enjoy that screenshot.
I figured you would. I believe that the guy right there on the right is Reese.
I thought it was Jack. It shows how much I know. He does look like Handsome Jack. Is that going to be the spoiler? Is it going to turn out that he is Handsome Jack?
I don't know. I think this is a... I want to say this is a prequel.
Oh, wait. Does that look at the moon? Look at the moon.
Hyperion.
So it can't be that much of a prequel. Can't be that. It can't be that far ahead. So it's got to be... Handsome Jack's got to be around.
It's, takes right, place after the events of Borderlands 2.
Damn it. Because I was going to make a prediction... that now is going to be not true. My prediction was going to be that it's going to turn out that that is the face that Handsome Jack steals and wears. But apparently that can't be true.
Well, Reese works for Hyperion. He's kind of a company man. And Fiona, the one on the right, is
Hi, Fiona.
A con artist.
Of course she is. What happened to your arm?
What, that's a good question.
What situation happens where you're like, the three things I'm thinking of saying are no one commands my van, what happens to my arm, and what was the other one?
Who are you people?
Like, these are my three responses. What has happened?
Or just, I'm going to be quiet.
I would go for the ellipsis.
I would probably say what happened to your arm in this situation.
True.
It's
weird that he's staring at the camera. Let go of my. She is a lot of. She likes arms. Is the square button always the arm related comment?
Probably. We'll find out. That'll be, I'll be playing
if they can keep that going throughout the whole game, that square is always related to arms, then I'll be a lot more interested in this.
I really like this screenshot. I think it's hilarious.
It's just such a weird thing. I Telltale are great. I like Borderlands 1 especially. But who won't play a Borderlands adventure game, really?
I think it'll be interesting to see. From what I understand and have read, it's going to kind of give us another look at Pandora. Maybe fill in some extra story.
That's what the pre-sequel was for.
I don't know.
So much Borderlands. So much Borderlands coming up.
I'm okay with it, because I love Borderlands.
But I'm worried for Telltale, because we've seen them struggling recently to put out games consistently, and like with this and Game of Thrones on the horizon, do they have enough manpower to pull it out? I don't know. We'll see. Only time will.
Yeah, we'll find out. Stay tuned. I'll review it at least.
I'm much more excited about the Game of Thrones game.
Yes, that's going to be
much
awesome.
More excited. That's right in their wheelhouse, and I like the Song of Ice and Fire a lot.
Yeah, should be very good. Telltale makes great story games, which is
they do. They have
important.
Amazing writers. As I've said on the site in my reviews multiple times, like their writing is like when it comes to video game writing, I think like Telltale and Obsidian are like right at the peak of that.
Agreed, much agreed.
What's next?
I have no segue into this.
Awesome. Well, that's
Microsoft is hiring for a
awesome. What can I send my CV?
Well-loved strategy game franchise.
So it's
either Age of Empires or Halo Wars. But
well, let's think about it.
Empires.
They said well-loved, so it's not Halo Wars. What strategy franchise do Microsoft own? Let's throw that one out there.
The two big ones are Age of Empires and Halo Wars.
I would not say Halo Wars is a big one. Like,
well, those are really the only ones.
Exactly, but yeah, it's got to be
Age of Empires, which I don't know.
Age of Mythology too. If it's Age of Mythology,
I think I just lost you. I did. Yeah. So. Gonna have to edit this out, maybe. No, I won't edit it out. I'll keep talking. Basically, they posted a job that said Microsoft Studios is looking for a highly experienced senior games developer to help build and lead the team for a new AAA title within an established and well-loved strategy game franchise. So, obviously, my worry comes in that it's not an ensemble game, because Ensemble was the ones that made both Halo Wars and Age of Empires. So, yeah. I guess we'll see where that goes. I think I lost Steven. But I guess we'll just wrap up the podcast there. We didn't really have much else anyway. So, yeah, we're going to try and post twice a month RaptorCast now. We're working on it. Yeah, so just stay tuned for more RaptorCasts. Like I said, I'm doing a – I don't know if I actually mentioned this. I'm doing a Raptor rant later today on microtransactions, both the good and the bad. So stay tuned for our YouTube channel for that. And we'll see you later.